dance me to your beauty with a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm gathered safely in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my homeward dove.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Joseph J. Erdo.
Oh, yeah.
Eric Reinert behind the glass. And Trisha. Oh, that was interesting. Like iced tea or something.
Trisha. Iced tea.
Oh, that's,
yeah, that's
how
an
you
actor,
do
it. Isn't it?
And of course, this hour, as well as last hour, was brought to you by Alexander's Auto Repair, All Care Automotive Repair. Alexander, you know, he's my personal mechanic. He is just so trustworthy. That's what I like about auto mechanics. If they're trustworthy, you keep them forever, I got to tell you now, because you never know. And Alexander is 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 602-956-3781. And as you get your automotive repairs done by Alexander's, what do you got? You can listen to this country western music.
No, well, this is not quite country
Leonard.
Western. This is Leonard Cohen, Dance Me to the End of Love.
Hey, that's a good song.
That's a nice voice.
Very white type of voice, right?
Don't you wish you could talk like this? Not
I could
like
talk
this,
like,
but
you
like
could
Leonard.
Talk like that.
No, my
you can't talk like that.
Very white isn't very long. White isn't gravelly like that.
What?
Very,
no, this is like Tom Waits.
This is Tom Waits.
Tom Waits and Leonard Cohen. I kind of have.
What's he waiting for?
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. This is "Dance Me to the End of Love," Leonard Cohen from Rosewater. Rosewater.
But that's
there,
a movie.
But
I saw
there
that.
Is no end of love.
There isn't. There is not.
Was
especially
that,
the dance between me and Marcus, the guy whose name is on my thighs.
Oh, it still is? Rosewater, is that, was that Julia Roberts or Jodie Foster?
Rosewater that just came out last year. It was directed by, that late night guy.
Clint Eastwood.
Daily Show.
Bob Daly.
John Stewart.
John Stewart, yes. John Stewart,
yes,
directed it.
John Stewart.
Rosewater. I finally saw it this past week, and I did not care for it.
Oh, you didn't?
But the song is great.
The song is great, and it's got some great themes, Dave. I think you might like it. It's got some, you know, political ramifications.
Oh.
There's some nice messages about when you give someone hope, when you take hope away from someone, what that does, and when you give someone hope, what that does. And that song is played during a moment of hope, and that is the one scene in the entire movie that actually made me smile, because I think it says a lot about life.
So, nice. Okay.
So, you know, I didn't care for it. I didn't hate it, though. You know, I'd probably ultimately, if I was truly rating it, I might give it a mild thumbs down. But,
right.
You know, I would still recommend, if you have any interest in the subject matter, or if you want to see what John Stewart is capable of behind the camera as the director, then check out Rosewater. So, now, we, of course, gave The Water Diviner.
Thumbs up.
Three thumbs up earlier in the show.
Pretty
but we have
big ones, too,
three
right?
Big
yeah,
thumbs
three,
up, yeah.
Three big thumbs up. And, but
well, mine's not as big as Dave's, but...
Well, his is, you know, he's
does well, exercise, it shouldn't be.
Exercising. Well,
I am a lady, that's true.
Yes. Well,
lady.
In our next hour, we're going to review After the Ball and See You in Valhalla. But right now, we're going to talk about two other films, The Forger and White God. So in The Forger, John Travolta plays a second-generation petty thief who arranges to get out of prison to spend time with his ailing son, played by Ty Sheridan, to take on a job forging a painting by Monet and stealing the original with his father, played by Christopher Plummer, to pay back the syndicate that arranged his release. Now, when I started watching this film, by the way, it was released yesterday in theaters. It's also on video on demand, and I believe it was on DirecTV for about a month before that. It's another new distribution model that some films are going, doing. But when I started watching this film, I said in my head, I said, this is a very old John Travolta. And then I started looking at other reviews, and they said, you know, other critics have said, John Travolta has never looked so old. I don't know if they made him look like this or if this is what John Travolta really looks like now. I mean, he's got a son in the film, Ty Sheridan. We've seen him in films. He's not that old. I mean, and then there's also Christopher Plummer, who looks quite old in this film as
well. Well, he is old.
Well, Christopher Plummer is, but you know what? There is still something about that man.
Yes.
I mean, during Sound of Music.
Debonair.
You get, yeah. But I mean, it's very attractive. He's just got that it. And so no matter how old he is, he's got that it, that
I
little glimmer in
Googled
his eye.
I just Googled him. He looks pretty good.
Who?
John Travolta.
Well, maybe he doesn't now. I mean, but in the film.
Yeah.
I mean, myself and other critics noticed that John Travolta looks pretty, you know, he looks aging quite
a bit
in this
film. He's had a rough life.
He has. But he is a very, very talented guy.
He is phenomenal.
I'm a fan of his. The Forger attempts to blend two genres with generally mixed results. As a heist thriller, it leaves a lot to be desired. It traces a well-worn formula yielding predictability and therefore a bit of boredom. You know, with the heist, I was a little, you know, it was dull to me. However, as a drama, it's rather involving, tugging on viewers' heartstrings and earning their desire to see star John Travolta's character succeed. There's this nice, if you like the father-son relationship, father-son's relationship in the Water Diviner, this has got a similar kind of
Vibe to it
in terms of parents and children, especially fathers and sons. The story's greatest asset is its sincerity, which is why the feigned action feels so out of place. I mean, so you've got one part of the movie that feels a little bit fake, another part that really feels genuine. It remains entertaining and engaging throughout to the end. In spite of its flaws, it's worth watching, if only for its surprising sentimentality. I did not expect that from this film. I was expecting more of a thriller, and what I got was a decent drama. So, thumbs up. Mild thumbs up. Not a huge thumbs up. I would recommend, though, seeing The Forger, especially if you're a John Travolta fan.
What if you're a White Collar fan? Because I absolutely love White Collar on the USA Network.
Okay.
Look how young he looks.
And that's that's from Grease.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, he doesn't look bad at all there, does he?
No,
someone was dressed up as him last night, too, by the way.
Oh,
really?
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah. So, I mean, that he's a forger.
Yes.
Of everything. And I love that. So that's what I was thinking about going
There's
into
very
this
little
movie.
Forging in the film.
Okay.
Very little forging in the film. It's discussed, and then they kind of gloss over it. Yeah, I mean, they show him very, very briefly. I mean, if you go for a potty break, you're going to miss that scene where he's actually forging the painting. So, but I've never seen White Collar. You might like it, though.
Excellent.
Yeah, I've heard great things about
it. White Collar is fantastic.
I have heard great things about it. And let me make sure we have, we have enough time in this segment to review White God. White God was at the Phoenix Film Festival. Now it's in theaters. I think it's over at the Camel View, possibly. One of the Harkins exclusives. It's about a young girl who's forced to give up her beloved dog because its mixed breed heritage is deemed unfit by the state. This is a foreign film, by the way. The two, the girl and the dog, begin a dangerous journey back towards each other. Now, if you were at the Phoenix Film Festival in line, you might have heard people, you know, asking about the dog, you know, what kind of movie this is, and then people would be, I don't want to reveal too much because they were a little bit shocked. People go into this movie expecting one thing. Even as you're watching it, you're expecting one thing and then it changes multiple times. It may take you by complete surprise. What starts out as an emotionally charging story about the abruptly broken bond between a young girl and her dog. I mean, she's in this car and her father basically opens the door, takes the dog, leaves the dog out on the side of the street and drives away. And so the girl and the dog are far apart. That is very depressing in and of itself, especially if you're an animal lover. But it slowly grows into a dark depiction of man's hideously inhumane treatment of animals. This dog is picked up. What's up? Three. Thank you. This dog is picked up by these people who turn this dog into a fighter.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh, that's what. Really?
And they abuse this dog, and basically,
well, that's how they get them to fight.
And they change the dog's teeth with, you know, files, and make sure that they build up certain muscles. It is very, very difficult to watch these scenes, especially again if you are an animal lover, if you have pets. And you know, I don't even have dogs. I have cats and a duck. But before all is said and done, the movie shifts gears again, becomes something so unexpected. I'm not going to reveal it on the air what happens here. You can find out on the online. I don't want you to. I want you to see the movie yourself to see what this is. It's certain to divide viewers, with the first faction loving its audaciousness and the other being appalled by it. both will be blown away by the visual force of it, though, as well as its metaphorical significance. It's got a lot of societal implications, this film. Again, three films in one. I personally liked it a lot. I'm giving it a huge thumbs up, but I am cautioning people, if you are an animal lover, it might be difficult for you to watch, both in terms of the emotional aspect and then the, you know, seeing
graphic.
The graphic nature and then the end of it. But again, watch it from a societal standpoint, you know, and you'll get the political ideas that they're representing. It is a very, very intelligent movie and very striking visuals.
So even though it's a foreign film set in a foreign country, this is kind of something that we may be headed towards with all the regulations against pit bulls and breeds that are not necessarily
that,
mean
yeah,
breeds.
Exactly.
They're bred to be mean breeds.
But also think in terms of following the leader, in terms of humans, how if we follow the wrong person or if we are led to believe one thing. Yeah, I don't want to spoil it. The last 20 minutes or half an hour of the movie is surprising.
But big thumbs up from you.
Yes, big thumbs up for White God and a mild thumbs up for The Forger. Dark Water by, this is the score, by Angelo Bettelmenti in this segment, or this hour.
And this hour brought to you by Alexander's All Care Automotive, and definitely go out and see him right there at 3310 East Thomas Road, Phoenix, Arizona, 602-956-3781. Tell him Dave said hi, Alexander. Great guy, great mechanic. Great
honest
value.
As long as the
very, very
long.
Honest. Such a good guy. And this is The Water Show here on 1480 KPHX. Breakthrough Entertainment.
K-Fix.
We'll be right back.
K-Fix.